This is Cryptid Dads Among Us, written by Raven of Hyde Castle, read by Mistborn Hero. A Batman Porfic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the characters Jason Todd, Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson, Alfred Pennyworth, and tagged for Eldritch Horror Batman. Fluff and crack and humor. Found family, as in kidnapped off the street. For once, not Bruce's fault. Shapeshifting, bat blob. Jason Todd is Robin and a menace. Dick is also a menace. Comedy, revenge, justice. The Wrath of Jason. Adapted sibling relationships. Sibling bonding and rivalry. Jason's favorite parent is the Bat Blob. Summary. Dick brings home a wriggling street urchin and declares him brother-shaped. Then, Dick runs off to travel the world and leaves Jason and Bruce to bond. It goes about as well as you would expect. Jason considered himself to be a kind, forgiving person, but Robin was a lame, inglorious bastard and deserved a stint in Blackgate. The next time Jason saw that no-good freak of nature in tights, he was going to kick him so hard his pixie boots flew off. It happened fast. Jason was still fuming at the double indignity of it all. First, Robin had jumped out of the darkness during the perfectly respectable tire theft Jason had been performing on a rad bat-themed car, which in retrospect Jason should have realized belonged to the local cryptid monster that roamed the streets. Then, he had kidnapped him. Second, because the first thing wasn't bad enough, Robin dragged him into a smelly cave system, chucked Jason at its said cryptid monster and said, "We are keeping him." Keep him. Jason was not a glorified Tamagotchi. One didn't just keep him. Jason's only comfort was that the bat looked just as confused and alarmed as he did. Sadly, he didn't stay that way. He didn't stay an amorphous blob of darkness either. No, he had to have an entire flesh suit and face. And did Jason mention gross? Because it was. Jason missed the shadow blob. He didn't have to fear that. He had grown up around deep shadows, and they were always great to hide in. If B-Man wanted to stay that way forever, that was cool with him. Brucey Wayne, on the other hand, was an uncanny belly of a human that Jason wanted to punt into the nearest lake. Adding in that Jason hated men in general, and the guy was a walking nightmare. Creepy didn't begin to cover it. Batman didn't seem to get that, though, and kept transforming into his stupid socialite self. Jason blamed Robin, the dick. He had trained a perfectly good blob of darkness to be literally the most obnoxious billionaire ever born, aside from that bald dude in Metropolis, but he was in a league of his own. Robin needed to pay. Luckily, Jason had a plan. Dick was busy finding himself abroad, which meant it was Jason and the B-Man alone in the manor, and the butler guy too. Alfred was pretty metal, but Jason didn't need to fix him. Armed with a salt shaker, in case Batman got any ideas, world literature, and 12 years of paranoia, Jason set out to get the best revenge he could think of.
B, he said, kicking open the study door. Get off the computer. I'm going to re-educate you. He held up a copy of The Secret Garden and braced for an afternoon of unpleasantness. Bruce lit up, which from him meant that the oppressive darkness smothering his office became 4% less shadowy, and exited out of a video call that was probably pretty important. Of course, Chum, I'm happy to spend time with you.
Chum, you, no, Jason would have to think of a new nickname for the bat to use. That one gave him hives.
Keep dreaming, Jason said. I'm only out for vengeance. He would rewire B's himbo personality into a classy, dignified one and rub it into Dick's face until the end of time. Revenge was a dish best served via cryptid father figures, after all.
You are.
Bruce looked even happier. Oh yeah, vengeance spirit. At least Jason had come to the right person at Jason to think for help. Two weeks into Jason's plot, he hit a roadblock. It wasn't fair. Bruce was doing all the right things, listening to Jason read aloud books, refreshing gentlemanly behavior via YouTube videos, also with Jason so he could make sure that the bat wasn't skiving, and going over normal people things. Not weirdo kidnapper circus freak things. Normal ones, like how far spines were actually supposed to bend, why the billionaire laugh was icky, and how his playboy persona was a walking war crime. Alas, Bruceman wasn't listening. He was, in fact, a moron.
I do wish you would be kinder to your father, Alfred said when Jason relayed this to him. They were in the kitchen, baking. This is his first time crafting an identity of his own. The peculiarities are part of the fun.
That's easy for you to say, Jason said, attempting to swipe a blueberry scone off the cooling rack. You don't leave the manor, so you don't have to suffer through chaos with him. Jason had only been to one, and he was scarred. Scarred! Being kidnapped had been less traumatizing. Alfred smacked his hand away from the scones and pointed at the sink. Jason slunk over and started washing dishes.
Master Bruce and I are still learning how to be normal, Alfred said. But from what I've observed, it is a damnedly boring thing to be. A personality with flair does more to spark joy than any number of bland manners.
Have you been watching Marie Kondo? Jason asked, shocked.
I am fond of daytime television, Alfred said. The Basil Rathbone Sherlock series is my personal favorite.
Well, that explained why he had an English accent. I don't want Bruce to be boring, Jason said, squeezing a tiny drop of soap onto the sponge before rubbing it ruthlessly against a mixing bowl. But he needs to be less cringe. Have you seen him flirt? I have. It has to end. At the gala, Bruce had told an oil baron's wife she had sexy eyes. Sexy eyes! Jason had heard better flirting from illiterate middle schoolers.
Believe it or not, he's mellowed significantly, Alfred said, picking the sponge from Jason's hand. Do not use that on the dough, Master Jason. It will ruin the material.
Jason was too horrified to care that his weapon's cleanliness had been stolen.
this is tamer?
Quite, Alfred said, turning off the faucet so it wouldn't flood the sink. He's rather given up on romance. The incident several years ago scared him off it, though I don't blame him for it. Now it's just something he does for laughs.
The butler dried his hands and exited the kitchen. Jason stood on the checkerboard tiles, mouth open wide enough to catch flies.
He's been traumatizing me for fun?
You have a sick sense of humor, Bee. The Shadow Bluff cocked its head, fingers pausing on the bad computer. Whenever he was in the cave, he lost his human shape, much to Jason's delight. Shadow Bluff was best bluff, but there was no satisfaction to be found in his bluffiness now.
The sickest, Jason continued, disgusted. You like being a himbo.
Bruce, still little more than shadows and two lidless eyes, squinted in confusion.
I suppose.
Disgust. So much disgust. Dick's terrible personality had permanently affected Batman. There was no fixing this, only damage control.
My vengeance has been ruined, Jason said. He was still going to work on domesticating Bruce into a dignified human being, but it wouldn't be the chick flick glow-up he had been dreaming of. If he was lucky, Bruce would have served enough Jason thoughts to be less embarrassing, but he didn't have high hopes.
I need a new way to get back at Dick. Bruce spun his swivel chair. The writhing trundles at the bottom of his cape perked with interest.
What do you have in mind?
Jason scuttled past, ignoring the shadows that snapped at his ankles and ripped open a locker. He grabbed Dick's Robin outfit and held it aloft. I'm going to be a vigilante, Jason said. Time to see how Dickface liked being replaced. They got the call 6 months, 8 days, and 14 hours since Dick ran off to live his best life away from Gotham, and 3 days after Jason did his first patrol.
I can't believe you stole my costume!
Dick Grayson, nee Robin, yelled into the receiver.
I gave you a home! A father! Have you no shame?
Bruce tried to take the phone, but Jason stomped on his foot.
Bitching about it, Goldie, Jason said, dodging another shadow trendle. Finders, keepers, if you didn't want me to use the mantle, you should have taken the damn thing with you.
Thief! Traitor! Judas!
Dick yelled into the receiver.
Language, both of you, Alfred said, knitting in the corner.
But he is a bitch! Jason said, then turned to the Batbluff.
Stop interrupting me, Bee. I am talking to the Dick. Bruce pulled the hood of Jason's jacket over his head and huffed.
5 minutes.
Jason stuck his tongue out as Bruce melted into a shadow in the corner, invisible except for how dark the area suddenly was. Alfred kept knitting. He was halfway through a sweater.
You're such a brat,
Dick said. His voice crackled.
My mom's nickname for me inspired the Robin costume. It's not just up for grabs. You're an identity thief.
You stole me off the street. I wasn't up for grabs, Jason said. You had this coming.
Kidnapping trumped identity theft in terms of crime. Jason had zero sympathies, even if Dick's evilness had landed him a cool shadow dad and an omnipotent grandpa.
I gave you a better life,
Dick said snippily.
Besides, Bruce never would have let me leave without someone new to fuss over. He's a mother hen, and I needed to stretch my wings. I'm above petty things like parental limits.
Ugh, Jason was so glad this guy had moved out. So annoying.
Yeah, real mature disco wing, Jason said. Is the lack of healthy role models why you dress like a male stripper?
Nightwing is not a stripper.
Jason ended the call and smirked. Vengeance was his.
Three days later, Jason passed by the parlor and saw Alfred smiling, frowned, and walked over to him. Why are you so happy? Jason asked, suspicious, moved by nature and habit. It was never a good sign when adults were happy, doubly so when the adult in question was an omnipotent creature of the night. Wait, was Alfred a creature of the night? He had never said, and whenever Jason asked Bruce, the bat just grunted noncommittally.
Your brother is coming home, Alfred said. It has been far too long since I could look after him. I do hope he's been eating enough.
Jason almost spat out the caramel he had been sucking on. His what?
It is a Christmas miracle. I can hardly contain myself.
Alfred held up the now finished sweater. It had the Nightwing logo knitted into it, and looked far too fluffy to be legal. Jason was not jealous that the dickface was getting the world's coziest sweater. He was a mature, almost 13-year-old, and had far more pressing things to worry about, like escaping Dick's revenge. Damn it. B, Jason yelled, abandoning Alfred to his knitting. I need you to teach me how to teleport through shadows. It is life or death. Unfortunately, Bruce was useless. His powers couldn't be transferred, and his philosophy was that if Dick and Jason had a problem with each other, they needed to figure it out, like siblings had, across time immemorial. No, that's a bad solution, Jason said. I'm like half his size. He would grow into a behemoth. Just you wait, Dick. But for now, he was the shrimp to Nightwing's barracuda. He didn't stand a chance.
Brothers crave violence. Bruce, an only child, said. It will bring you closer, like the siblings on Malcolm in the Middle.
Don't use sitcom psychology on me, Jason yelled. It didn't work on Cain and Abel, and it won't work on me. He left his stupid, fury at Jason's guardian and went to make his own contingencies. They were all useless. Jason ended up fighting tooth and nail with Dick on the training mats, using every dirty trick in his arsenal to fight off the guy's headlocks, trash talk, and insufferably bendy attacks. Jason felt like he was fighting an eel, and only got a couple bites before his face was in Dick's sweaty armpit. Yuck. Good thing Jason knew a foolproof way out of this hole. Oh, gross! Stop licking me there, you little creep! Dick yelped, quickly shoving him away. Jason gargled half a bottle of mouthwash that night, but it was worth it. He had asserted his dominance. Dick stayed for 6 weeks. It felt like 6 months. Go back to space, you loser, Jason said every morning at breakfast. Jupiter is calling, and it has your brain. And your mom has my dinner jacket, Dick snapped,
We had a great time together last night. My mom's dead, asshole.
So's mine. You're not special.
That was usually when Alfred would chide them, or Bruce would grunt at them to be nice while he cut out newspaper clippings for his alarmingly huge scrapbook collection. Jason and Dick would spend the rest of the meal making faces and kicking each other under the table. A stupid preening diva with his dumb mullet and lame outfits. Jason couldn't wait for him to leave. Still, it wasn't all bad. After their first wrestling match, Dick declared Jason a passable successor and spent at least an hour each day training him. Jason loved B, but the guy sucked to spar with. Half the time, he went incorporeal so Jason couldn't even land a hit. Fighting Dick was way better practice. Dick also wasn't the worst person ever. He was funny and chipper, and his smile was so bright it made Jason's eyes ache. The manor lit up when he was there, and Alfred and Bruce looked so happy. Happier than they had ever been with just Jason around.
You should stay, Jason said one night. They like you more than me.
He and Nightwing sat by a gargoyle on Gotham City Bank, legs swinging in chilly evening air. The city was made of shadows and pinpricks, buildings 50-story tall looming over them. No amount of streetlights could pierce through the darkness. All the dim window lights accomplished was making people more uneasy. From far away, they looked like eyes. Bruce was patrolling alone. Something about letting them have meaningful bonding experiences. Jason suspected Bruce was watching most coming-of-age movies. He would have to destroy those discs before Bruce got any other weird behaviors from them.
Are you kidding? Dick said, crossing his legs. They love you, little wing. It's adorable.
Shut up, Jason said. You don't need to lie to me. He crossed his arms and glared at the streets below. It wasn't brooding, no matter what people, Dick joked.
I mean it, Dick said, nudging Jason's shoulder. I've never seen them so happy. You've got them smiling from ear to ear.
Jason snorted. Get your eyes checked. They weren't like this until you showed up. Sure, they had been happy, but nothing like this. Jason knew he was a patch job chosen to distract them while Dick was gone, but he had never felt so much like one as now.
Bullshit, Dick said, then hummed thoughtfully.
I think I've got it. They're happy because there are two kids under the roof. That means double the smiles.
What?
Jason said, deadpan. Did this guy think he was stupid? He wasn't going to fall for that. Dick hopped to his feet and paced on the edge of the roof. I'm serious. They run on belief. The closer they are to a person, the more it affects them. Alfred is literally dependent on caring for others to exist, and B loves kids. This is probably paradise for them. Jason stood too, dusting off his cape. He felt a little silly in his yellow, red, and green outfit, but at least he didn't have a bee neck like Dick. Small mercies. If it's that much of a difference, why did you leave in the first place?
Dick waved his hand.
You know, this and that. No biggie, we don't need to get into it.
You kidnapped me over it, Jason snapped.
We totally do. Dick had the grace to wince.
I prefer the term relocated.
And I prefer you in actual clothes, Jason said. Your stripper outfit is cringe. Now tell me.
Dick sweated at his head. Jason ducked, triumphant.
Fine, Dick groaned. Bruce was getting way too smothering. Happy? It was cute when I was a kid, but the guy doesn't really understand aging. You try having a 7 o'clock bedtime when you are 15, and tell me how you like it. Bedtime? Pull the other one. You were rubbing, Jason said. You were out on the town all the time after dark. Not on weekends or my days off, Dick grumbled. I couldn't get a second to myself. He followed me on dates. Okay, well, Jason was starting to feel sympathetic, which was just wrong. I figured B would be happy if he had someone else to take care of, Dick said. At the very least, you would buy me enough time to get out of Dodge. Personally, I think it's turned out great. And don't pull the kidnapping card again. We both know you're better off now. Jason scowled. That was besides the point. Dick smirked and ruffled his hair. Hey, fix your face before it freezes like that. I'm happy you're fitting in. You seem to love them right back. Jason stamped on Nightwing's toes and fixed his hair. That's only because they're buzz metal cryptids with an epic library. Love has nothing to do with it. Alright, alright. Both of them knew it was a lie. A moment later, they got a report on their comms of a robbery happening two streets over. They got out their grapples and were soon in pursuit. Jason grinned as the wind whipped past, and Gotham's familiar shadows enfolded him. They had never been scary, but now they were downright friendly. He hoped he would never have to leave them. So, what if B was smothering? Jason could use some of that. It was nice, having someone who cared, even if their civilian personality was the worst. Still, one thing wasn't adding up. Hey, Wing, if he's so overprotective, why didn't he just follow you out of Gotham when you left? Jason asked. Dick somehow managed to shrug in mid-air on his rapple. Well, you know, his powers get all wonky outside city limits. As long as I was fast enough, I could outrun him. So, going after me was pointless. They padded over a roof, then fired their grapples a final time, nailing the bolts into a gargoyle 17 stories up. Besides, Dick said, as a group of thugs robbing a jewelry store came into view. He hates leaving Gotham. After the incident, he's gone out of his way to stay in the city. Nothing like a romance gone wrong to make him a hermit, am I right? Jason almost fell off his line. A what gone wrong? Dick didn't answer, too busy dropping into the robbers below and filling the streets with the sound of his laughter. Jason grumbled as he moved to follow, but made a note to ask about that again. Later. Stupid dickface, he never made anything easy, not even gossiping about their weird crypt dad. Still, Jason was glad the guy had come back to Gotham, even just for a little while. This family thing was nice. He could get used to it, warts and all. The end. Thank you for listening. This has been recorded for Potawin. I'm probably not editing it before the final drop, but I am recording it at the same time that I am recording the first part. Author notes. Off screen, Dick is running around forming the Titans, meeting people, and living his best life. He channels all his gremlin energy into tormenting Jason while he's at the manor, then goes back to being one of the superstars of the hero world once he's done with his staycation. Titans, where were you, bro? Wrestling a 12-year-old in the lair of an eldritch monstrosity. Why? If you were going to lie, at least put some effort into it.
Dick is also shocked and appalled the first time he hears Bruce make a literary reference. You broke him! Broke him! It is an improvement. At least now he is cultured. You ruined a perfectly good himbo, that's what. I am ashamed to be dubiously related to you. The end. I hope you've enjoyed as much as I've enjoyed reading this. As I was reading this, it was the fic that made me want to perfect the series because Jason's point of view just looked like a blast to read, and it really was. So I hope you enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.